not really can't. There's one scene where they're planning the heist, right? And so there's about four guys sitting in the room, and Kevin Spacey walks in because he's the man, and almost like it's Glengarry Glen Ross, he storms into the room, said, "Shop, let's talk it." And I thought that was an interesting way to start a conversation because, you know, they're talking about work and blah, blah, blah. But I like the shit out of Kevin Spacey. You know, I used to think that guy was gay, like an actual homosexual.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Never seen him with a woman. Hold on. Let me Google this. He might be gay.
let's fact check that. Okay, I'm gonna start this episode here.
Some people are bad and they don't give a damn what they do or who they hurt. They go through the lies and don't apologize for the shit that they've disturbed. They don't bother me at all, cause I know quite well.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Beside me is Jeff. This is a very special episode because it is just a boys' club today. It's a sausage party episode. Say hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
So, just to start off, I want to thank the fans. I just want to say that if you want to send us your hate mail, ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. Facebook, check us out at I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. And you can look at our website at ineverwanttobeyoungagain.wordpress.com. How's it going, Jeff?
It's going well.
Is it going well? What good things are happening to you, Jeff?
I fell in love.
Oh, that's right.
I fell in love and I don't know. Been eating some good food lately. The weather's nice. You know, all things that come hand in hand with falling in love.
Positive. The sunshine.
Yeah.
The birds are singing. It's a Disney movie.
There were three words that this girl that I'm in love with said the other day, and she didn't say them. Like, she didn't come forward and say it. She said it in response to a question I asked. And I said, "Genevieve, how do you feel about prenups?" She said to this to me like this, "I don't care." And I was just like half boner.
Oh, half
boner for sure. You know what? Actually, I take that back. It was probably more. It was probably full boner.
So, Genevieve, I think the listeners need to know your guys' history because it's getting pretty serious. I think you're looking serious at places together, right?
We're looking at places together, and we're talking about how we're going to raise our kids.
That's awesome. To which she will have some coming in, right?
No, I mean, she has kids, and we're talking about how I'm going to raise her kids.
Yeah, no, I didn't think you were having kids. I know that's not happening.
I don't believe in them.
You support your decision.
Yeah.
I'm pro no life when it comes to Jeff. But, so, you know, you met this girl, you went on a date, and the second date was...
You know, even before the first date, we've been talking about it, but yeah, this first date... I was just like, "Oh, hey, you're a great person. We get along in every way. Oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. Let's move in together." And so that was what? Not this weekend, but, you know, last weekend. And so this weekend, we're looking at houses and apartments and stuff, and we're taking this very seriously.
Oh, you did see some over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
See anything good?
Saw a lot of stuff good. Some stuff that was too expensive. Some stuff that was... terribly laid out. Like I don't know if you can imagine this, but when you have kids, because you might know something about that, you want to have your kitchen, if you're in your kitchen, to be able to see your living room, to see what the kids are up to. And we went to a couple places that their layout was just whack.
You know what? You're already being a helicopter parent. You know, I wouldn't mind a wall between my kitchen and my living room so I can ignore my kids better.
See, the thing is, I'm not going to be in the kitchen. So this is her. These are her criteria.
Fair.
These are her criteria, and because you know she wants the daycare or something, it would also help with that. And I think that's a great idea.
That's a pretty cool idea. I
think it is. But you know, like what I said, and I tell all girls this. I really do, Trevor. Doing the internet dating, I tell all girls. I said this is how I do it. I like to take things really, really slow and then take them super fast. And this time around, that's kind of turned out to be true. It was always intended to be true, but it never really gets that far.
Well, it's gone from like, and I'm rooting for you guys.
Yeah, because I don't fuck on the first date, and some girls can't handle that.
But, I'm assuming when you were house shopping the second date, there was probably no fucking as well?
No.
No.
No, we didn't have time. We're very busy.
So, not to get too personal on you here, but you and Genevieve haven't consummated.
That's right.
Are you waiting for the wedding?
You know what? The wedding's probably not far off, but I'll tell you what's happening between now and the wedding. Quickly after we find a place to live together as a family, we're going to drive to Calgary to go visit her dad because she hasn't been allowed to see her dad. So we're going to go see them because, you know, like, it's not like I'm going to ask his permission for anything. I don't give a shit. But what I am going to do is confront him because, you know, it's like, just to show him I'm the boss.
Yeah, I don't keep eye contact.
Yeah, like, I'm going to bring the fight to him.
Oh, know? Okay, you're preemptively your future father-in-law.
Yes, I'm preemptively.
You want to whip your dick out.
Yes, and I'm laying it on the table. That's a power move.
And there you go. And you know what? You'll be the boss every Christmas, every Thanksgiving. Here comes Jeff.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't pull his dick out.
No, but that's the thing, right? Because, like, one, literally pulling your dick out in public is a power move.
Well, I'm excited for your wedding next month or right? When you decide to have it, you know?
You know what? Things might be tight because we got to, you know, put, like, a deposit on this place and we got to, like, I got moving expenses and stuff. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that next month, but...
Dude, it's not your first wedding. You're not going
to... It's not her first wedding.
Hey, this is, you guys can drive through it. Yeah. Like, no, come
we've,
on.
We've done this.
Yeah, you know yeah. It's, you've it's done it before. Bridge. But let the bachelor party?
I don't...
Oh, can we talk about that? Can we talk about...
Like, for my future bachelor party, I think I would want to do something really neat. Like, before, I wanted to kill a person. I wanted you, me, Jessica, and Jesse... to kill somebody, and then I wanted us to bury them and get away with it. I thought that
binding us for life.
Yes. No, that's honestly what I wanted to do. Jesse was very against it, because being the morally outstanding character he is, he's an outstanding guy. He's got those high morals. And one of those morals is, as like a team-building exercise for you and your friends, he doesn't believe in killing a guy.
Or girl?
He didn't say. You know what? He's a pretty equal opportunity guy. He probably doesn't matter to him whether it is.
I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember calling me, I'm going to say 2005, just randomly. And you said, hey, Trevor, think about your yearly income. Think about what it is, like, whether it's 30, 40, 50,000. Think about...
I already don't remember this, but yeah.
No? Okay, so you're like... Think about that. Now, I want you to think about $1 million. Do you know how much $1 million weigh? You told me what $1 million weighs, what dimensions it is in certain currencies. You talked about this for about 10 minutes.
Okay, I do remember now,
to
yes.
To give me an idea of what my yearly salary looked like beside $1 million. And then you proceeded to ask me, what wouldn't I do for that $1 million?
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if you remember the answer, but I said, I stopped, I thought about it, I go, I would go as far as killing someone I didn't know. I think I could kill a stranger for $1 million. But even somebody I don't like a real person, I don't want them to have three dimensions. Mm-hmm. So that's where my $1 million, and then, do you remember your answer?
No.
You said you would go as far as being the feature in a gangbang. And you said, I know I'm going to immediately regret it. I know I'm going to vomit and cry. I know this is going to happen. But in a couple of hours...
I'm going to have $1 million.
I'm going to have $1 million.
You know what? I remember parts of this because, like you said, it was what, 2005?
Yeah, we had to have been...
No,
I just started selling cars.
I don't remember that, but that is a good point. I do remember working out with a calculator and like... reading the Wikipedia page for like how much a dollar bill weighs and blah, 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 and how thick they are and stuff. And I do remember doing the calculations, finding out the volume and the weight of $1 million in $100 bills, because that's what you want. And, yeah, but I don't remember, although I'm not denying that I said that, because let's face it, it's $1 million. Like, I might do some of that for my yearly income stack next to it. You know,
I was going to say, I wonder, like, you do it for $1 million. I think you might do it for half.
Like, there's two piles here, and I'd be happy with both of them. Like, can I do it twice? I don't know. Like, let's be real about life. There's $1 million will take care of some things and create some other problems.
You know what? I'd like to see what would happen. I mean, maybe it won't buy me happiness. I don't think it would. I think I'd have a lot of fun. Fun and happiness are different things.
I think counseling is about like $200 an hour.
Yeah.
Could buy a lot of counseling.
That's, you know, when you're talking about getting lump sums of money, you never hear people talk about the counseling they're going to get.
Something terribly graphic did just happen to me in the scenario.
Oh, I suppose you're going to need to pay for really good counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably move, because everybody will know you as the guy that got banged for $1 million.
And then I'd be all over the blogs, because you know there'd be people in the industry that find that personally offensive, you know, that they would find that very offensive that some this dick pulls up, you know, first day on the job and is making more than them. I know that would ruffle a few feathers.
Oh, you mean in the gangbang community?
Yes.
You're assuming this is going to be
in
porn.
In the professional. No. I just mean in general. Like, I just think nobody's probably ever been paid that much.
Well, then here's a good question. Would you still be down if they're going to film it?
I don't give a shit. It's $1 million.
Like, yeah.
You know what? I honestly, like, with my $1 million, I don't care what you think.
So let me get this straight. I'm going to gangbang with these guys, and then you're going to kill a homeless person. And then you'll give me $1 million? Sure. Anything else? Just
right.
Whatever you need, boss. Yeah. You got the $1 million. This is going to be the worst day of my life. End.
Yeah, you know what? But no, that's the thing. It's never going to happen, probably. You know, like, nobody's going to offer me a lot of money for something weird like that. But I am in a lottery pool, and I do think about winning large sums of money. And
We all like to have that
fantasy. You know, I've had a constant answer for what I would do with $100 million. I've had the same answer for several years. Do you remember what it is?
No, I don't.
Spy satellite. I want my own.
I remember now.
I want my own satellite. Maybe more if I can have them. But I've actually just thought, because, you know, it's forest fire season, and, you know, there were 140 that started on Friday. There were 100 that started on Saturday. I mean, it's like whack-a-mole. They put a lot of these out. But, you know, this is a problem everywhere in the summer, everywhere with trees. They have it in Australia. They have it in California. I mean, everywhere. So I was thinking, what if I just bought a fleet of planes and had a forest firefighting company, and they just, you know, because the seasons change in different countries or whatever. So, like, when it's winter here or whatever. And they would just kind of, like, their squadron, I suppose, would just kind of migrate around the world and like, lease themselves out for forest fire season.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's a commercially viable thing, but it seems like it has to get done, because they're not very good at it now. If you can't put out a fire in 2 days, come on, if there was a structure fire, if their house is on fire, you'd expect the fire department to be able to have enough resources to put out in 2 days. And
are we talking forest fires or structure fires?
How about I'm comparing them?
Yeah, but I mean, a forest fire is like, if you can't stop one wave, like a tsunami, then what good are you? I mean, we're talking about forces of nature.
I don't care. I think
with strength.
I think we need to up the bar on how good we have to get at this, you know?
It is alarming, and a lot of people are affected by it. So
we apparently don't have enough planes to, like, make this happen, because I think if you have a squadron and they're well organized and a water supply, I think you should be able to do this.
I don't know what to say, because, like you, I have no experience putting out forest fires.
Very little.
Very little. Very little.
Very little. I had a small role in starting some, but there you go.
Hey, so I told you I got shaken down by the police the other day. I want to talk about this. So, Canada Day. I'll go through it. Okay. Canada Day, 150 years. We go down to the fireworks. So we park a distance away because it's a madhouse down in Cloverdale. And we walk down and me, Tanya, and Brad are like, okay, we're gonna duck off and we're going to smoke a joint in the bushes. We go down like a little path, the rest of like the family and stuff goes ahead, and we cut out to the side, and there's some teenagers, and I see one like kind of running away and two just standing looking at me with stupid expressions on their face. And I walk down and I kind of have a little fun with them. They're like 17, right? And I'm like, maybe even younger. And I'm like, hey, what's going on here, huh? What's this about? Because I'm an adult, right? And I think it's funny that I'm an adult.
And adults are the enemy when you're that age.
And when you're in the bushes smoking weed. Yeah, and I'm like,
parole officer.
And then I pull out my joint. I'm just sort of like hanging it in my mouth, just going like, what's going on here, huh? And he like laughs, turns to the bushes and says to his friends, it's cool. He's down here to smoke weed too. And like, 8 to 10 kids come out of the bushes. Like, I couldn't believe it.
You didn't know there was that many.
I did not. And I realized, like, that they had ran when they heard us coming, right? We spooked them. So I now am like, okay, listen, I'm going to let this slide, but I'm going to need all of your weed.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to give me all your weed, kids. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and I'll pretend this never happened, mm-hmm. right? They laugh, I laugh. We light a joint. They're smoking weed out of an apple and trying to ask us for rollies. And we looked at them, we're not fucking amateurs. We rolled our shit before we got here. And so we're toking away and we're having a good time. And the kids have come out of the bushes. And I see another smaller group of three men coming towards us. And there's something about their expression that just tells me, like, they look weird. You know, like, they're checking it, you know, they're walking down. But they could just be looking for a place to smoke and a little bit more, whatever. Anyways, they weren't looking for a place to smoke. They come down, and there's like, I think he's a First Nations guy, really fit, and they're in plain clothes, but like cop plain clothes. And
what's cop? Is that like jeans?
Like jeans. One guy's got a hoodie. Like in retrospect, they look like cops, right? Like they looked like cops that were in plain clothes.
But when you say jeans and a hoodie, that doesn't look like a cop to me.
Yeah, but they look like an uptight white guy wearing what they think looks cool.
Gotcha. So I immediately understand. You're saying that this sweater isn't stained at all. It's not even that worn. And the jeans aren't like faded because you sit on the concrete. They're like, you're dressing up like a poor person.
Yeah. What they think it would look like. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they got like really good haircuts. And the first guy was a First Nations dude that was kind of jacked. And he walked past me. The second guy was a redhead who was, you could tell, spent a little bit more time on the forest and was a little bit more like, this is the job. And he says over his shoulder, hey, are you kids smoking weed out of an apple? Oh, that's hilarious. And he has pulled out his badge. And I'm like, oh, I know what this is. Now, Tanya has no idea, and she's sitting there holding the doobie. And they're like, listen, we're the cops. And we laugh because I had just made that joke. But they were for reals.
Yeah.
And the guy's looking in Tanya, and he's like, yeah, we're cops. We're in plain clothes. And she's still holding the joint. And I'm like, Tanya, and I'm pointing down like,
have these 10 kids scattered yet?
Some of them have, but like some of them still stood there because it worked last time, right?
Like, I was just thinking, they're like, well, it was a false alarm and you're in false alarm mode and that you might not scatter. But me being, I would take the opportunity where they're talking to you to run away.
And they probably wouldn't chase you. Like, they didn't look, there was too many of us.
Yeah.
We didn't run. We just looked at the cop. I gave Tanya the signal to drop the joint. We put it out, and she's like, oh, and she almost picked it up. I saw her think about it. Right, because, again, we're too comfortable with what's going down here.
Right.
And the young kids are shitting themselves, right?
So they're learning something. They're learning, like, this is how you treat the situation. This isn't the end of the world.
Well, and then the like, so there's a senior cop, the redheaded dude with the goatee, who's like talking to the teens, and the First Nations Jack dude is kind of like blocking the exit, but not actually, he's beside the path leading out, right? So we put it out. I look at the guys, I'm like, sorry. And then I walk, and I walk for the path. And you know what? The most, so naturally, the First Nations guy's like, looking around like, should I stop this guy?
You know, if you do something slowly and like smoothly and confidently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about confidence.
But so. that's a ballsy step to just say, I'm saying that we're good here, Mr. Three Policeman. We're good here. I'm just going to go as you were. Like, that's certainly assuming a level of stature that must have fucked with their heads, like, later on. Like, I wonder if redheaded guy was like, what was that?
Well, you know what? I think they prioritized us. They realized we were two different groups, and they know that we're done, and we're going to go to the fair, and we're just whatever. And the teenagers, like, they're never done, right? If they've got... When I was a kid, if I bought a half an ounce of weed, that's how much weed I was smoking that night. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we're a little more... We're veterans, right? Mm-hmm. So we... Anyways, it's hilarious that we walked by him and left, like, strolled away, and they're emptying their pockets.
Yeah.
They're getting chained down. Yeah. That was funny. As an adult, having that kind of interaction with the police, just... Yeah. You know what? It was almost pleasant, you know?
I imagine that'd be a bit rewarding. You'd be like, oh, look at me, Mr. Stature in Society, man.
So, what do you say we get into your segment? Do you want to do current events?
What are we talking?
Are you prepped? Oh, you're going to be a look.
Because my other phone was...
Jeff got a new phone and his notes were in the phone. We don't necessarily need the segment for this. This is bonus episode stuff. Because Jessica... Oh, can we talk shit about Jessica?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about her. You know what? I've known her for almost 20 years, I think. And you know, I haven't really kept this... I haven't kept this a secret. I've told a couple people. I think she knows that I've told a couple people about this. But the thing about Jessica is one time she put a hamster in the microwave...
Was she just trying it off or just wanted to see what happened?
Oh, that's just something I tell guys so they stop hitting on her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And there was another time that I tell these guys that she actually cries during sex. Not in the nice way.
I've heard you tell guys that.
Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't work. The hamster thing is way more effective.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because you know what? At this point, you know, like 35 years old, I think, you know what? No, like... somebody telling you that this girl cries during sex isn't even close to being a deal breaker. That's not even close. Like,
she's bangable though. So yeah, like I would get over some stuff if I just met her.
They'd be like, oh, you know, she has four kids. I'm like, I don't care. Like,
yeah, she looks like she's down.
Fit. She's fit and she's down.
You see the tits? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see them? They're swollen. And yeah, I just, yeah. Well, what could you say about Jessica since she's not here and we do?
You know what? There is rumor that she invented the resting bitch face. Like she was the first one who did it. Mm-hmm. And everybody's just really following her.
Yeah, she should get a nickel every time some girl looks like a bitch.
You know what? She would be overrun with nickels. You know what else I'd say about her? I hear her vagina, not what it used to be. You know, the tread's not so much on the tires.
I gotta show you the picture I have for her.
Oh, like when she calls you? Yeah. You know what, I hear her, there's actually a small picture. Went to click on it. She actually looks kind of good in there. Oh, she looks sad.
No, she looks annoyed. My contact picture for her in my phone has her making this really, like, pissed off, like, face. And she's seen that and been unimpressed.
So for the viewers, she's got her hair did. Her makeup's did.
Very attractive girl.
She looks good. She looks good in this picture.
Just in general, very attractive girl who doesn't smile enough.
Yeah, usually she looks indifferent. But in this picture, she looks downright annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls it Hasselhoff in it.
Oh,
because nice. David Hasselhoff had that.
That is
thing
an amazing video. That chicken sandwich in the hallway.
Yeah, we're eating it off the floor, and he's all fucked up. So there's a picture of me every time I call her of me Hasselhoff in it. Yeah. Which
that's interesting.
I hope we never pass the border together.
Yeah,
and they figure that out.
Right.
Like if we're gonna get on a flight together. Yeah.
You know what? When you go over the border, lock your phone. Like
yeah, you know what? I wouldn't be against like sending it to its factory reset.
Yeah.
And then, like,
'cause you can do a restore from the cloud.
Yeah.
That's the safest thing to do. If you're a reporter, you should do that. Yeah.
I mean, fuck. If you just have a lot of dodgy shit on your phone, you should do that.
I know.
They check your search history. They're like, oh, I see you looked up weed stores in Washington.
Right? Like, why are they doing that?
I think the phone should be like the mail. I think it should be a federal issue
They were saying that that's why you should put a password on it, password protect it, because
they can't force you.
Password is a lock, and that's, I don't know which amendment, but one of the things is they need a warrant to go into anything with a lock.
Like, so if you get legal search and
If you get pulled over in your car, your glove box is locked, and that's where you keep your weed. Well, then they need to, like, either ask you nicely to open it or, like, get the dogs, you know? But, like, with your phone, like, they have to go to a judge and say, we want to look in his phone. And you say, why? And they say, I don't know. We just feel like it. Then
that's just like getting you to empty out your pockets for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which
I won't do.
Or road stop checks.
I won't do it.
You know, I don't know if I picked this up from some, like, you know, insane person on YouTube, but road stop checks, actually a huge violation of our rights. The way they're conducted.
You know what? I agree with that, because the only thing that, without probable cause, that they can do is ask you for your license and registration. And that's usually where they get you. They're like, do you know why I pulled you over? Is your opportunity to incriminate yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So I just say no.
Well, remember we got a ticket. You and me got a ticket 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
And Jeff's like, can you hurry up and, like, get in the fast lane? So I do it, and then I get immediately pulled over for passing over a solid line. Bad. Whatever, it happened. But did you realize the entire interaction with that cop, I never said a word.
I didn't. I was going out of my way not to say a word.
I'm glad, because you're a liability.
I was really upset, and I know that sometimes I can escalate things.
You can. You can.
Especially with cops.
Actually, if we're ever in that situation, just shut up and let me do the talking. But and I'm good at talking. I'm good at dealing with people. But with police, the less you say, the better. He told me, he came over, he said, you know, I pulled you over because you crossed this all. And he told me why he pulled me over. I hand him my license. He walks back to his car, writes the tickets, comes back, says, you know, it's $109. It's $25 less if you pay it within whatever. And then he walked off. I didn't have to say a word.
And that's the extent of the conversation. And sometimes they get downright annoyed with you because you don't have to open your window. You only have to open enough to hand them your license and registration. Now, some people do this, and they're to, like, roll down the window. And you're just like, no, like, here's my license and registration. You can read it, so go check it.
I can hear you through the window.
I can hear you.
And at some point, though, like, I see some videos of people doing that, and, like, I just think,
you're being a dick for no reason.
You're an asshole. Like,
no, but like,
I don't hate cops. I like the idea of anarchy, but I don't hate cops.
How often do you get pulled over?
Twice a year? If that.
Some people get pulled over every week. You got to understand, at some point, you start to feel harassed and annoyed and angered that this keeps happening. And now, I'm not saying I get pulled over every week, but I've probably been pulled over, I don't know, like 30 times or something. And I've probably had, like, 3 tickets, you know?
I've seriously been, like, pulled over, like, 10 times in my life.
Yeah.
And 3 tickets, though. Probably pulled 3 tickets.
And, you know, so it's not like there's a great reason, you know? You just get pulled over for nothing. And so, you know, when you're not doing anything and you think you're on the same team, you're like, hey, I'm law-abiding. You want people to be law-abiding. Why are you here breaking my balls? I get annoyed. I can understand why people on YouTube get annoyed.
Well, I just think of some stupid person standing there going, I'm recording you, I can record you, this isn't illegal, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, okay, so you were going 120 kilometers per hour in a 60-kilometer zone. I'm giving you a ticket. And they're like, I'm recording you. You know, I'm not obstructing your rights. I'm issuing you a ticket for something that you did that was illegal.
It didn't help that one guy.
Which guy?
This guy's girlfriend was filming him because he got pulled over or whatever, and the cop, the girl was saying, please don't shoot my boyfriend, please don't shoot my boyfriend. She had this, like, she had her cell phone out, like, filming him, whatever. Her boyfriend was being, like, pretty relaxed about it, and the cop shot the guy to death in front of his girlfriend with her phone out.
Oh, that's the worst dirty cop ever?
I don't know. It's like, what's going on here?
Well, I guess in cases like that, like, there are bad cops, and if you catch them on film...
No, because, like, you know, like, when that kind of stuff happens, they're like, oh, no, he's perfectly justified, and you're like, what? But, no, this is something...
Well, that starts a riot, right? Like, that's the kind of shit that starts a riot.
Oh, I know, and, you know, like, people are like, oh, Black Lives Matter, you know, and like, yeah, and I think it's a stupid movement, too, but I can understand the frustration.
Yeah...
You know, because, like, civil disobedience is...
You know what I have to say on the subject? Mm. As little as I can.
There you go.
As a white dude between the ages of 25 mm-hmm. and 55, mm-hmm. I'm just not going to comment.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah. But remember, I'm underprivileged. I took a BuzzFeed quiz, and I got 21 out of 100 privilege points. So it turns out that even though I am a straight white male, I am... more underprivileged than many colored people I know.
So yeah, you checked your white privilege.
I checked my white privilege.
And it's low.
21.
21.
Out of 100.
No, I checked my white privilege and I'm like 45 or something. Like mm-hmm. And it said I wasn't privileged. I'm like, actually, you know what?
Are you kind of lording this over me right now that you're more privileged than me?
That's what privileged people do.
That is so white of you.
You know what?
I need you to check your privilege right now.
I checked it. It's there.
You're listening, but you're having a conversation right now with an underprivileged person, and I feel like you're not acting like it.
You know, I'm actually spending the time talking to an underprivileged person, so I'm really doing you the favor.
Oh, and I'm charity work now.
Well, I thought this would like be a thrill for you, but we don't have to have this conversation.
You know, I keep forgetting these people can't see my facial expression.
But, you know what? They can feel your facial expression.
I hope they can feel the sarcasm because this is the kind of shit that drives me crazy. This like overly PC, like it just drives me nuts.
I had a half Chinese girl tell me to check my white privilege, and yeah, oh, it was so good. I'd actually like to have her as a guest on the show because she's a little quirky, and she does. What is she? She does design, fashion design. She does fashion oh, cool. shows and stuff and cosplay. She's really interesting, but she did say, you know, check your white privilege. And I looked at her. I said, I checked it. It's there.
You know,
it's and this is before the BuzzFeed test. So I couldn't tell her how much. I couldn't tell her what rating but I said, hey, listen, I don't want to make this weird, but as a heterosexual white male between the ages of 25 and 55. It's as good as everybody says it is. I'm telling you, I can get loans. I can mm-hmm. go into stores without getting harassed. When I return stuff at the store, usually not an issue.
Yeah.
Just been pulled over less than 10 times in my life, and I've been driving since I was 17.
I completely agree. Actually, you know, you mentioned getting loans. There's a new Jay-Z track out on his album, and this track is, I don't know, something about OJ. Anyway, but there's a line in there. He said, you know what's better than making it rain on bitches at the strip club.
Nothing.
Having good credit.
That's a lyric?
Yeah. Like, sorry, I'm probably butchering it, but you get the idea. It's like...
No, if that was the message...
You know what's better than these bitches at the strip club? Credit. Or, sorry, he said what's more important.
Well, yeah, because you're not paying those bitches with your money. It's the bank's money you're using.
Yeah, no, well, like, that's the thing. Is like, you're not as rich as the money you have. It's like how much money you can get. You can borrow, and it's not real.
No. Hey, you know what? That's insightful words from Jay-Z.
You know, actually, I am meaning to check out that album because I heard he threw some shade on Kanye, and I really like hearing that kind of shade. It brings me joy.
You know, that could be a really good rivalry, Jay-Z and.
Well, you know what? Great rivalries come from best friends, and they used to be the closest of friends.
Oh, so good.
And so, you know, when that kind of stuff happens, like, you get the best rivalries.
So this is your current events section right now. It's celebrity news.
I suppose it is. But, no, I mean, you know, like, Johnny Marr and Morrissey, you know, they're in Smiths together, and now, like, there's quite a bit of distaste. And it's just, I feel like to have a really good rivalry, to really hate somebody, there has to be a point where you really love them. You know? Like, you have to have that. that intimacy to be able to push somebody's buttons and to really hate them and for them to push your buttons. And I think that's really important. So I think this is going to be a great feud.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing pretty good on time. We don't have to do a full episode here, but is there anything else you wanted to... Well, it's just you and me hanging out and not having the boys club sausage party. I got a couple stories here, but we got a lot of episodes. I should save some content.
Sure, and Brad is sitting in the backyard.
Intern Brad, yeah, he is... afterwards, Brad, we're going to work on the website.
Right, that's a good idea.
Which is, the website is I never want to be young again dot wordpress.com. Facebook.
Are there any spaces in that?
I don't think there ever is in email addresses.
Well, no, maybe for the website. Oh, I guess there wouldn't be. There isn't in URLs. Makes sense. I'm putting this on my phone.
Okay, yeah, you should really know about the website. You should also check out the Gmail account, because we're going to get some hate mail. Please, to know us is to hate us. And
is there
you can
an
send...
E on the end of young?
No.
Oh, can't spell.
Please send us your hate mail at the Gmail account. I never want to be young again at gmail.com. Did you know I wanted to get I never want to be young again podcast at gmail.com? Google doesn't give you enough letters.
Aww.
We couldn't. We picked an an awkwardly lengthed name for our podcast. It just rolls off the tongue. I never want to be young again podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the Facebook, Gmail, and our website. And on Facebook, you can check us out at I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, where we'll put episodes. We'll just put random shit and stupid pictures. And I'm actually kind of excited about the Facebook page.
I did it.
Oh, yeah. Jeff's got the website on the phone.
Going to send you some hate mail, but I'm going to do it anonymously like a little bitch.
Oh, anonymously. So we'll be reading hate mail if we get it on the episodes. I'd love to get any fucking mail.
And it's going to be real specific.
Anyways,
all right.
Thank you, everybody, for coming in. We will see you next week.